I met most of you on the way in this morning. My name is Kristen White. I'm your new canon, which means I serve on Bishop Jennifer's staff in areas related to congregational development and leadership. And it is my great blessing and gift to be able to be with you, a gift to me to be able to be with you today. So thanks for your hospitality. Thanks to Rebecca and Aaron for making me welcome here, and to all of you. I'm glad to be here, and I look forward to getting to know you better in the time to come. You are my child, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. We hear these words, or some version of them, every year on the first Sunday after the Epiphany. In today's passage from Luke's Gospel, all the people were baptized by John, and Jesus was baptized there with them. But then, afterwards, as he is praying, the heavens open and the Holy Spirit flies down. And a voice from heaven says those words, "My child, the beloved, well pleased." It's kind of a strange passage, this one, after the lyrical telling of Jesus' story all throughout the Gospel of Luke up to this point. Luke's gospel is the one, after all, that tells us about the angel Gabriel coming to Mary, the "let it be with me according to your word" of her ascent. This is the gospel where we learn about Mary rushing to her kinswoman Elizabeth, who is also pregnant at the same time, also unexpectedly, though with the one who will be John the Baptist, the one who leaps in his mother's womb at that moment. Luke is the one who gives us the Magnificat that follows. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord," Mary sings. And the story of the Holy Family going to be registered in the city of David, where Jesus is born and laying in a manger because there's no room for him. Luke is the one who tells us about angels and shepherds and the glory to God in the highest, and who will go on to tell about that baby Jesus being presented in the temple with Simeon and his song and the prophet Anna. And then, after all that, we come to today. The bulk of this passage, at least by speaking lines, belongs to John the Baptist. The people are filled with expectation and questioning in their hearts. They wonder if John might be the one who is to come. But John answers them by talking about Jesus, the Messiah. "I baptize you with water," he tells them. "But the one who is coming is more powerful than I am. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And then there's that piece about the winnowing fork and the chaff and fire once more, though this kind of fire is unquenchable. Scary stuff. But then, the one who is coming has come. And it seems almost like an afterthought in this gospel. All the people were baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized. Like, oh, by the way, remember, Scripture tells us that John the Baptist came onto the scene preaching a baptism of forgiveness. Remember, Scripture tells us that Jesus is both fully human and fully divine, that he lived among us as one of us, and yet without sin. So what's going on here in today's gospel? "You are my child, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." That is what's going on in today's gospel. In this slice of a moment, the Holy Trinity is fully present to creation. God the Father in the voice from heaven, God the Son just emerged from the muddy waters of baptism, God the Holy Spirit in flight between heaven and earth. From this moment, Jesus' ministry in the world begins. He will face temptation in the wilderness. He will call his disciples to drop their nets and follow him, and they will. He will teach and preach and do the work of miracles where water becomes wine and sick people are healed, and 5,000 people besides women and children will sit down on a big bunch of grass as Jesus blesses 5 loaves and 2 fish, and everybody has enough. But none of that happens until after today's moment. It's hard not to have John the Baptist's words ringing in our ears with his proclamation of baptism as an act of repentance. Clearly, though, there has to be something more to it. The prophet Isaiah's words echo forward from today's first reading. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and the rivers, they will not overwhelm you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Do not fear, for I am with you. What if this little slice of a moment there at the Jordan River is the point at which Jesus is both publicly claimed and publicly called? And what if, by his example, so are we? Can we recognize that because Jesus is baptized like we are, we can be baptized like Jesus is? Can you receive that kind of love and know that it is for you? And then go forth and live the way of love, the call to remember your baptism in your words and by your actions. The Reverend Dr. Michael Brown is a pastor who tells the story of a leader at his church. The man was someone that the whole community trusted because of who he was, a man who was faithful and courageous and steadfast. The man, by his own account, had not always been such a shining example, though. He told Dr. Brown that as a young man, he was the opposite of the person he had become, always in trouble, likely causing it for other people. But then he met the woman who would become his wife. And the truth is, he said to Dr. Brown, she loved me into loving. Is that the reason that this first Sunday after the wise men follow a star and find a Savior, that we always hear these words? You are my child, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. And here again their echo from the prophet Isaiah, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Could it be that the mark of our baptism is the act of God loving us into loving? I want to say that again. Could it be that the mark of our baptism is the act of God loving us into loving? Because I cannot think of a time in my life when this world has cried out to be loved more than in this slice of a moment, right now. I cannot think of a more worthy time for each and all of us to find our way through the wilderness and live the promises of our baptism with bold witness, with radical welcome. We who have been loved into loving have good work set forth to do right here in this church, right here in this community, right here in this diocese. I sat with a group of senior citizens on Thursday evening as they wondered aloud if the government shutdown would mean they don't get their next Social Security checks. And I wondered what it means for us to stand with folks on the margins and transform unjust systems. I talk with people who are heartbroken about the church they remember as flourishing, and I pray that we will equip ourselves to lead the church we are and the church that we are becoming. I texted back and forth with our diocesan youth leader, Victoria, this past Friday. She was concerned about people's safety with the snowstorm coming as our youth steering team was set to gather for an overnight to plan their next retreat. Her thoughtful care served as a beacon for others. to help those young leaders' lights shine. I heard about our dean's trip to the southern border and remembered our call to a generous welcome for everybody. I looked at the pictures of our diocesan pilgrimage this week to Haiti and read the story of Alta Gracia Michelin as she took Bishop Jennifer to the airport yesterday. "You look like us," she said to the bishop. And I gave thanks for the ways that God invites us to love our neighbors, those near and far. My sisters and brothers, we have been loved into loving, and we live in a world that is forgetful and terrified. So remember who you are. Remember your baptism. And remember that these are God's words for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, because you are my child, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. Amen.